Okay, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. This Shabbos, we have the special privilege to be reading together Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma is the building of the Mishkan. The truth is, you'll notice that it's confusing. I had to stop for a second. Mishkan Mikdash. Mishkan Mikdash. It is the Mishkan, and it is confusing because the Torah uses both languages back and forth. And I saw some of the Parshim like address this. Mishkan or Mikdash. But Vasuli Mikdash Meshachanti Besocham, the building of a house for the Ribono Sha'olam. The Torah tells us, right, they had to have a tremendous amount of donations that needed to be brought for the Mishkan. And Moshe delineates the 11 things that they needed donations for. My daughter asked me last night, as we were learning the Parsha, she said, why didn't Hashem make a miracle that like they would just get all these things? Wouldn't that be easier? And I said, it definitely would be easier. Buy-in, right? You want people to be involved and feel like they're connected to this. Therefore, you want people to be involved, you know, on whatever level. And they had the expert weavers and the expert sewers and the expert builders and the architects. Everybody had a chelek in this one edifice because Hashem said, I'm not going to have miracles involved in here. There were bits and pieces. Maybe we'll address them. But all in all, the donations came from the people. Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'chuli truma, me'ez kol asher yedvenu libo, tichu es trumasi. Hashem tells Moshe to tell b'nei Yisrael that we need a truma, we need a giving of their supplies to the Mishkan, and we know that they had not just enough, they had more than enough. V'zos ha-truma, and what are we going to give? Asher tichu me'itam. And now we go through a list. Zahav v'chesef u'nechoshes. The first three things in the list are gold, silver, and copper. I saw the same idea in two different Sfarim this week. One in the Otsos HaTorah, I think Corey Kleiman, he was a new neighbor, moved in about a year and a half ago. He just gave me the Sefer. He hasn't used it so much. So he finished it. Otsos HaTorah on Parsha Shemos. Sefer Shemos, and also in the Torah Ladas, the same exact idea. And I thought it's very, very beautiful. People give for different reasons. People give for different reasons. Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshes. So maybe this is the source, gold, silver, and copper donations, right? Are you going to give the higher level, right? You have, but he says each one of them is an acronym. Listen to this. Zahav, ze hanosein bari. This is a person that gives when they're healthy. Nothing's going wrong in their life. They're giving for the sake of giving. I want to help. Halavai, proactively. We don't need to knock on their door. Okay, some people do. Good. That is zahav. Kesef, kisheroa sakana poteach. They're nervous about something, so they open up their hand, right? They open up their wallet, and they give. The third level is nechoshes. Nesinas chole sheomer tnu. You give when somebody in your house is ill, right? These are all tzedakah. The mitzvah is check. I got the mitzvah tzedakah. But different levels of giving. Some people are giving completely on their own volition. Others, a little bit of internal pressure. I'm giving because I feel like it's going to help with potentially something that is, you know, potentially wrong, right? And I want to give a donation. The third level is there is a tzara, an active tzara in the home. And as a result of that, I want to give. So says Rav Sarutskin, Zalman Sarutskin, Holocaust survivor, emigrated to Eretz Yisrael and helped build up Torah there. He says the following. He says, what is so wrong with this? What do you mean?
In other words, when you're having sorrow sometimes, someone's sick, you would think that's the least amount.
Right. It's not the least amount. It's the reason. It's the reason for giving. All right, nechoshes is a lower level. Okay, yeah. Okay. But it's more about the reason for giving itself. That's the way I understood it. He says the issue with this is that if you go fast forward to Parshas Ki Tisa, what did people donate to the ego? Only gold. Only gold. Right? So I never noticed that before. Right? But now if you contrast it, so here Moshe is saying, I need all these things. Right? I don't only need gold. I need Tchelas or Gaman. I need other things. Good. Saying is the deeper message is that they gave and Moshe didn't, no one needed to ask. Okay. Everyone saw we needed it. And people just went ahead and, you know, opened up their bank accounts, opened up their safety deposit boxes, opened up and gave from all their Zahav. Zeh Hanosein Bari, right? Without any asking, it was on their own. And that was a knock on the Jewish people at this moment, is that when it came to the Egel, everybody gave, you know, without asking. And here, not necessarily so. That is thought number one, Zahav, the Kesef, Unechoshes. Yeah.
Not a totally fair because Aaron's idea of Baruch Hu Nidmei Hashem was to part with the most hard to part thing. That's why he tried to pull it.
So
that's why he didn't say give you Unechoshes, give you Zahav, so that people will. Most people will be resistant to give this up.
Yeah. So good. On a pshat level, I agree with you, Abe. That on a pshat level, he was asking for Zahav because that's the hardest to give away. And that's why Aaron did it. He didn't know that people would be so willing to give for the eagle itself. Great. Next thought comes from C. Meyer Zilberberg. C. Meyer Zilberberg is a great mashpia in Eretz Israel. Chassidus Rebbe. There I had the schus to meet him once, many, many years ago. And he quotes the following Chazal. There's nothing greater in the Mishkan, nothing more beloved to Hashem in the Mishkan, except for filling up a okay, we're back. I don't know what happened there. That never happened before. Okay, the Torah says the following. V'nesata es haparochas tachas akrasim. The parochas is hung on hooks. The aves hasham and aves haparochas. Es aron ha'idus. Beyond the parochas, he put in the aron. Bernie mentioned. V'hivdila haparochas lachem. And the parochas shall separate bein hakodesh u bein kodesh hakodashim. It serves as a havdalah, a separation between two different parts of the mikdash. This is why every aron kodesh across the world has a parochas, has a curtain. Right? Everything that we have in the shul correlates to something that we had in the mishkan or the beis hamikdash. Right, several years ago, we gave a series of shiurim and drushos on that notion, and the paroches is no different there. He quotes the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim writes is that before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a world war. It's a lot to talk. Nechamas Gog u'Magog, and many people interpret that as a physical war. The Chafetz Chaim writes, it's not going to be a physical war. It's going to be a spiritual war. That's good news and bad news. Good news is, the bad news is that that's pretty scary. The good news is maybe it's happening right now. That spiritual war is going on right now. And he writes that that's the main point of what we need to learn about is Havdalah. What do we bring into our home, right? What do we filter out and leave outside of our home? He quotes the Naftali of Rupshitz, Rabbi Yudin's mother's family is a Rupshitz or Hasidim. And Kisivna, when you build a new home, the Torah says, Kisivna Bayis Chadash, Vasisa Ma'akel Gagecha. When you build a new home, what do you have to build around your roof? You have to build a ma'aka. You have to build a fence. We could understand this, Alpi Drush, that you need to build a fence. The first thing you need to build when you have the home is a boundary. What do you bring into your home and what do you keep outside of your home? When we were living in the shtetl, this was very easy to do, right? Today, we live in a world where it's much, much harder to figure out what belongs in and what belongs out of the home. And that is so significant. What's amazing is that he quotes a gematria. The gematria for the word ma'akeh is 216, he says. It's really 215, but if you count the kolah, which means the word ma'akeh itself, it's 216. There are 216 hours from Rosh Chodesh Av to the 9th of Av. Why that's correlating to the word gematria, the word ma'akeh, why is that? Because that's what we are doing. We need to rebuild our parochas during the month of Av, right? As we're entering the world of the building of the Mishkan, which takes place over the next several weeks, we need to think about what we're keeping in and what we are leaving out. And that builds up the Kedusha in our home, right? The parochas separated between the Holy of Holies, right? Only things that are the utmost holiest and utmost significance and importance do we leave separate from everything else. And we need to take that very, very seriously, right? Today, it's a machala because it's so complicated and so hard. And every time you think like you figured it out, in many ways, you didn't necessarily figure it out. It's so, so important. Okay. Next idea is a big chiddush, I would say, from the Sforno. And I may be saying something slightly controversial. Slightly controversial. So the Sforno writes the following. Vasubi mikdash v'shachanti besocham. I'm going to make me a sanctuary and I will dwell amongst you. I will dwell amongst you. Sforno writes, come on. God isn't everywhere? No? Isn't God, don't we learn? Uncle Maishi, right? He's everywhere. Why do we need a house for him? Why can't we dive in and call out to God wherever we are? So the Sforno writes the following. There's a machlokas as to when this parsha took place. When did Hashem tell us build a Mishkan? So the Ramban writes, I don't know, right now, after Parsha Mishpatim, after after Matan Torah, the next thing he said was build a Mishkan. Rashi, what does Rashi say? After Chet Eigel, right? We already alluded to this idea. Rashi writes, no, we only needed this notion, this idea to have a building for God after Chet Eigel. And says a Sforno, Pasuk says, V'chein taz. Atem, sorry, Vasuli mikta v'shachanti v'socham, make for me a sanctuary and I will dwell amongst you. Kechol asher ani mar'eh oscha, everything that I show you, es tavnis ha-mishkan, Chazal say that Moshe was seen the entire architectural plans, and that's how we know what to do. Based on this kol kelav and all the structures of all the utensils in the Mishkan, the chen ta'asu, and this shall you do. What's this shall you do? Atem kedesh eshkon besochachem. Says the Sforno, Moshe's talking to us today in Tavshin Pei Gimel, in 2023. Today, if you want to know where to talk to God, ledaber imcha ulekabel tefilas aval lodes Yisrael, that he should accept all of your tefilos. Lo kamo shahaya ha'inyan kodam ha'egel. Before chet ha'egel, you were able to serve God in your spot. And every spot was ideal, right? L'chadchila. Every spot. But that's not true. Post chet ha'egel, Hashem's presence is more powerful, more impactful in mekomos of Torah and of tefillah. That's what the Sforno says. Yes.
What do you mean by sacrifices? Wasn't that only the firstborn sons that were able to do that?
So if we're referring to, that's not what I'm referring to. He's referring to like David, talking to God, right? The main place to do that was in the Mishkan. Says Rav Moshe Shternbach. Rav Moshe Shternbach is a great leader today. He's one of the Gdolei HaDor. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, you see from this idea, that tzarech ledatek lispala b'bate knesios b'bate midrashos. One should be very careful to try to make sure to daven in shuls and bate medrash. She yiskabul tfilosenu b'ratzon shesham hu makom ashrina b'yameinim. The place where the Shekhinah is found today is in our shul. And it's not in the living room. Right? That's where Hashem is found.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an expression field of dreams. Our expression is build it and they must come.
Ooh, if you build it, they will come. He will come, sorry. The dyke in the language. If you build it, he will come. That is the language of the movie. If you build it, they must come. Okay, good. Yeah.
So I have a question. For many reasons, younger children or whatever,
yeah,
or people, let's exclude men who aren't well or can't.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the women.
Yeah.
Isn't it important for our people to count and for us to feel that we really need to be with Hashem?
Yeah.
And a lot of times women, especially if they have young children,
it's hard for them to come.
Or how about, you know, when you bench lift for Shabbos and Yantip,
yeah,
you have your extra, you know, davening and stuff like that. It's not shul. Does that mean that we can't get this closeness to the Kadosh Baruch Hu where he's not listening?
Yeah, no, so Hashem listens, the closeness is there.
Right.
It's more impactful in shul. One of the biggest, I think, what's the right word? One of the biggest impacts, I think, on COVID to all shuls is that fewer women are coming to shul. Everyone has an excuse. This is not me saying to individuals. I was speaking to old friends of ours, and they said in their shul, two women are coming to shul now. Used to be packed, and now only two women are appearing in the women's section every single Shabbos. Maybe at the end of that... What? I don't know. I'm not real. This is not to like knock any particular person, chas v'shalom. But there, it's eino doma, the level of coming to shul when it comes to
Rabbi.
In the basic Knesset is not the same as davening in somebody's living room. It's not the same. Again, there are many, many reasons why people can't, and Hashem knows. Not right, and for a variety of reasons. I'll tell you a great story. 1 second, Jules. When, after we had Abigail, Sarah was a big davener, always in shul. It was very hard for her to like not have that. And she felt like she was also like not practically davening as much as she used to. And we, Erev Yom Kippur, we had a bris. And we went from the bris, I remember, straight to Brooklyn to spend Yom Kippur by my in-laws. And a friend of ours, it was their bris, called us up and said, could you drive Rav Schechter to the bris? Great. I said, Sarah, you're going to speak to Rav Schechter about your issue. Like, speak to him about it. Like, what do you do? Like, you really are very busy. And she was starting graduate school and there's a lot going on. And he said to her, something I'll never forget. He's like, she said the whole story, and he said, a mother is always davening. A mother is always davening.
It's true.
Sitter, no, mother's always not, right? Jewel, sorry, you had a question? Okay, you let me know. The Rav Sternbach, in his Tshuvos, someone shared this Tshuva with me last week. That's why it's on my mind. Rav Sternbach has a Tshuva where he talks about the notion of davening in a shul or a base medrash. The truth is, davening in a place where you learn Torah is the highest level. Davening in a place where you learn Torah, that's the highest level. And he quotes a Chazal. Chazal says that in the future, all the Bate Knesios, all the Bate Midrashos are going to be taken and go to Eretz Yisrael. So last week, I had mentioned I was in 770 last week, Chabad, and we went to the Living Torah Museum, which is right next door to 770. And at the end of one of the, it's a kids museum. At the end of one of the floors, the last exhibit is a lot of different mitzvos. It's a very dark room. And there are buttons like kissing your mezuzah, putting on tefillin, obviously, and different things. And you have to press a button because like you did the mitzvah. And the guide said, press all the buttons really, really fast. And slowly, 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 by pressing the buttons, the room lights up to show that every mitzvah that you do, and that's really that's a Chabad idea, but it's really a Torah idea, that every mitzvah that you do brings more light into the world. And so the whole world and the whole room gets lit up. And on these panels, which were blank before, are images of Eretz Yisrael, of like the Kotel, the Beis HaMikdash. And then you have like the Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower. There is a Chazan because like, what is going on here? Why? What's the Eiffel Tower doing in Yerushalayim? So I said, there's a Medrash that says that the whole world is going to become like Eretz Yisrael. So Chazal also say that all the shuls, so where's the space going to be? So he says it's not really all the shuls. That's not really what it means. It means the Kedusha that is within the walls of the shul is going to be taken and brought to Eretz Yisrael to sanctify the land of Israel and to make it holy. Because within the walls of each of our shuls, there is a tremendous amount of Kedusha. Therefore, he says, in Chutz La'aretz, HaKedusha Nish'eres Le'olamim, V'Hasida Le'akar Le'Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, where do we have the level of Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael? It's in the shuls. It's in the shuls itself. And that within itself is so important. His raya for it. One second. His proof for this is that a mitzora, if someone becomes a mitzora of their home, what do you have to do? Have tzaras on the house. You have to knock down the walls of the house. So what do I mean, tzaras on the house? He says you see there that people's words affect the walls of the house. So it's if it's true for Tuma, it's true for Kedusha as well. Yes, Jules.
No, I wanted to say I was driving home. I'm in Florida right now. I was just driving back from BRS. Anyway, in our shul in Teaneck, the women are still there to say almost the same amount, number of people.
Great. Amazing.
Interesting, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Thank you. Okay. Amazing. Okay. Next idea. We already discussed. Paroches was number one. Secondly, Zahav Vakesef Unachoshas. Third idea was davening. What changed after Chayta Egel? Why is it so important to daven in a Beis HaKnesses? The very first of the kalim that we use that is mentioned in the building of the Mishkan is which one? You know? It was mentioned already. The Aron. Right? The Aron was the first one of all the kalim. Vasu and the Mishkan. Vasu Aron Ateshitim Amatzayim V'chetzi Orko Vama V'chetzi Rachpo Vama V'chetzi Komaso. So the aron, you should build an aron out of acacia wood. It shall be a masayim v'chetzi orko. The length of it should be 2.5. The width of it should be 1.5 amos. And the length of it should be also 1.5 amos. It is the only one of the kelim in the Mishkan in which each of the measurements of each side are halves. Why is that? Now, why is that? The Aron is the only thing, only kli, where each measurement is by halves. God couldn't say make it 3 by 2. He had to make it 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. What's going on here? What's going on here? What?
Together. In other words, you can't do it by yourself.
Okay, so one. Good. So one answer is that you can't learn all the Torah on your own. And you need to have other people to learn with you. And you need teachers and mentors and chavrusas to learn with you. Great. The Baal HaTzurim writes here, this is the idea we shared last year, that to be a Lomei Torah, you need to have anivus. You have to have humility. You have to be a half, not a whole. The Where Moshe Sternbach, in his Sefer, again, which is two ideas from Sternbach today, writes in his Sefer, Tuftan V'das, that what does this teach you? That when it comes to Torah, we have to try to stretch ourselves, right? We have to stretch ourselves beyond our capacity. we should try not to rest on our laurels. I've always been this way. I don't need to push myself more in my Talmud Torah, in my doing mitzvos. I'm okay where I am. None of us, including myself, are okay where we are, to try to push ourselves. And it doesn't mean you get to the finish line, that you're going to get to be a whole. Sometimes that means you're in like this half category for a while. We're like inconsistent. I'm doing it. I'm trying. I'm not. That's what Hashem wants from us. On our level, sarich lishtadel, to try. Yes, 1 second, Peter. La'amol batorah velo letzamsei mikishron asav, and not to limit our skills. Ela yarchiv, try to stretch ourselves. Lishtadel agia lemidas yechot. Yeah.
Maybe to show that fine detail matters, exactness. Instead of saying 3 by 5,
oh, very nice. I like that idea too. That's very good. I like that one. Okay, 4 ideas. The half is, when it comes to Torah, it's precision. Right? Is that what you mean? Like, precision matters, right? Taking a lulav on Yud Dalet Tishrei doesn't really count. It's close enough. No, it's not close enough. That doesn't matter, right? I gave them like one bracha of, first of all, Shachmanos, it doesn't need to be 2 brachas, it's 2 things. I gave them one thing. That's nice enough. I gave them a whole corned beef. No, it needs to be 2 manos, and that's fine. So exactitude, precision is required when it comes to the Torah. Yeah.
This might be different from learning Torah, but the whole idea of law that has more.
Yeah.
It's to show that the half does count, like making some effort.
You're adding to Rosh Hashanah that even the halves that we do that don't become a whole also matter.
Right, it's like great. When people, there's a request for tzedakah or some organization who say, look, I can only give $10 or a penny, or like, what difference does that make?
Mm-hmm.
If 10 people give $10, you're already building up the money. And you shouldn't think that, the measurement of the Aron, which, like the height of Kedusha and everything,
yeah.
But every little piece counts, and that can reflect on us, B'nai Israel as a Jew. Like, it's nice to have Dolei Hador, but even the Amcha is important. That little half person who might not ever be able to become some great Rav, but his thoughts and his...
People feel like half people, but they're not half people. Right? 100%. Great. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
Do they have these precise measurements? I mean, they take it from Mitzrayim. It had to be so precise. I mean, you could estimate, but an estimate is not an exact.
So why are all the lengths that we have based on body parts? An ama is a forearm. A tefach is your width of your fingers. So maybe Moshe knew. Okay, you're the average guy. You're the person. They had like a few different Yankels. And you stand by, Yankel, we need you here. We need another Yankel here. And they stood there and he had his Amma. And that's... Maybe. They took other things from Egypt. Maybe they took instruments also, measuring tools. It could be. Could be. It's hard to know. It's really hard to know. Yeah. So if you continue on in the... Really, it's there's so many details here which are very difficult for many of us. If you have like an architectural mind, or you like construction or building things, like this is your parsha, and you can really appreciate this. It's hard for me personally. I have two svarim that have all the pictures of the Mishkan, and that helps me understand what is going on in the parsha. So if you just further go on in the story of the Aron and how we're building the Aron, the tzipiso zahav tahor, ibayis mechutz tzapenu, it needs to be gold plated on the outside and on the inside, but not in the middle. The Aron in the middle should be wood. Okay, so gold on the outside and the inside, but wood in the middle. Now, why is that? These two last two questions that we just asked, right, are great questions to just discuss your Shabbos table. There happen to be like numerous answers to these questions. And every year I find it great to find like different approaches to these questions. So it's gold on the outside, gold on the inside with wood in the middle. Says Chazal, you learn out from there, Tocho Kiboro, that a Talmud Chacham, a true, right, Talmud Chacham, needs to be somebody that their outsides and their insides are the same. What they say is what they mean. What they mean is what they do, right? They need to be consistent in everything they do. Those are the real leaders. If that's so, then the whole thing should be gold. The whole thing should be gold. Why do we have the wood smack in the middle? What's that doing? Anivas. So, okay, so Honey is saying that this teaches you again the trait of humility. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anam Mikol Adam. He is the person that we see this most from. One of the most important traits in finding somebody to learn from is somebody that is an anav. Somebody who has a trait of humility. It's not always, it's not all about them. Good. Any other suggestions?
Yeah, you come up to your outside and you come up to your inside, We're still all human,
and that's represented by the wood. Somebody should take what they do seriously, but not take themselves seriously. Or just remember, what do you mean by that, Neil?
You can develop yourself as much as possible, but you still have to see the commonalities of everything.
Okay, you have to realize that you're a human being just like everybody else. Great. Yes.
Just thinking, you know, that going back to Don Eden with the whole thing of trees. And wood pumps and trees to sort of always keep us grounded, reminding us where we came from and the whole beginning. You know, it wasn't gold, the emphasis was on trees and to remind us that the Torah is really, you know, it's a chayim, it's chayim, and that kind of.
Rabbi,
yes. There's something there. So,
Rabbi,
remember where you came from. Remember where you came from, and that's reflected by the trees. Good,
Rabbi.
Yes.
So I could see where somebody would say, though, gold on the outside, like the Torah is condoning, you know, beauty is only skin deep, kind of thing.
Ooh, beauty is only skin deep. Okay.
Yeah. Ouch.
Okay. So says the Chizkuni. Roy Haya, Ha'aron Yoskulo Shozahav. Chizkuni writes, It should really be all gold. It deserves to be all gold. It's a Torah. Ella sheyeh kaved l'naso. If it was all gold, it would be too heavy to carry. Yedino l'nasei b'kaseif. The halacha is that the Levium needed to carry it. Did they really carry it? No. It was carried miraculously nonetheless. But it would be too heavy. Therefore, they put, Hashem said, make it wood in the middle. Now, what is the message that the Chizkuni is teaching us about why we need wood in the middle? It could be the following, that people that learn Torah should not be a burden to others. And I don't mean, therefore, the community shouldn't support them. No, that's not what I mean. Is that sometimes with that comes a tremendous amount of intensity and becoming an imposition to other people. They still need to be Me'urav im Habrios. Should be somebody that connects to others, right? They are not burdening other people because of who they are and what they represent. If somebody that is mindful and not too heavy on others, then maybe most importantly on themselves. It should be a lightness to Tamidei Chachamim. And you could think of different people and what they, right? A lightness to their Torah. Their Torah should never represent something that's overbearing or too much to handle. We should try to make the Torah that we have something that when we, whoever we meet is like, oh, this is something that is attainable. This is something that is real. It's practical. Something that I myself can relate to. Yeah. The thickness?
The thickness of the wood. I'm not sure. The gold.
I don't know.
Is it just plain in, like, and most of it is wood? Or is it equal?
Even when the, some translate as gold plated, but I don't know what that means also. I don't know how thick it is. I don't know.
That it's just
yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
That would be the case that most of it would be wood.
Yeah. So,
it's
plated
by gold.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Vitsi means to plate it, but I don't know. It seems to be that it was thicker than just a plate like we would use today. I'm not sure.
If you say that most of it is wood, then I think that the idea
comes into play a lot. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. For today, we learned. What? The kapora is a solid gold, correct. The cover was good. That idea maybe we'll mention on Shabbos. Why the cup is the kapora, the cover for the aron, is that like a separate kli or is that the same kli as the aron itself? That is a big discussion because on top of the kapora was the kruvim, and maybe that was like a sun. What did that represented Hashem's presence? This represents the Torah. Is that the same idea? Sounds like the same idea. Maybe it's a different idea. But textually, it's probably different. Okay, so five ideas for today. One was Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshes represents three levels of people that give. Second idea was Ein Lecha Chaviv, Vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ela Parochas. The Parochas, the most beloved of all the items in the Mikdash. Why is that? Separation, Havdalah, making boundaries today is a big thing. We live in a world where like even your work is in your home for most people, for many people today. Like, how do you make separation of the boundaries on every level in our life? Davening and a shul, the significance of that. Moshe Sternbach and the Tshuva. And then we discussed two ideas related to the Aron. Why the Aron's dimensions only mentioned in halves? We had precision, anivas. We had the idea about trying to stretch yourself. And then why isn't the whole aron? Torah is gold. Why isn't the whole aron gold? Why is there wood in the middle? So again, mentioned that, you know, the humanity of the person, humility again, and perhaps the Torah itself shouldn't be overbearing to the people, and the people that represent Torah shouldn't be overbearing or burdening to other individuals. Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.